The following service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, July 2, 2017, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Country. will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Let us pray. Father, almighty and eternal God, whose glory is revealed in the person of your Son, our Lord and Savior, for it is in his name that we come to worship and honor you this day. Claiming the sacrifice of your Son, we stand before you as redeemed people, justified and sanctified in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us here this morning as we offer our prayers and praise and supplication. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, if you'll please stand as you're able for our call to worship, which is Trust and Obey. You'll find that in your hymnal on page 467.
Romans 6, 12 through 23. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves. You are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you have once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity, to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to the righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things which you now are ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, the Word of God for the people of God.
Last week we talked a little bit about what did death mean scripture-wise. We know what physical death is. We're aware of what physical death is. But in the Bible, and particularly, we're going to be talking about this a lot. And if you want to read ahead, if you'll notice in your bulletin on the right-hand side, there are lectionary readings. And they're recommended to you for devotional readings. I'm going to be preaching out of Romans for the rest of this month. The last three Sundays in July will be a series of three parts. So just so you'll know, that's what's coming. But in Romans, when we talk about death, we're talking about that separation from God. You might hear the phrase, there are things worse than dying. And one of those things is being separated from God. And the separation from God is a present thing as well as a future thing. The wages of sin to choose that lifestyle separate you from God in the present and separate you from God's presence in the present. But accepting Christ as Savior and Redeemer puts you into God's presence. Your sins are forgiven. So hold on to that and we'll be back. Okay, this is not confession time. No raising hands or telling anything. How many of you have gambled all the time? How many of you play the lottery? You got your pick six and your numbers, and the statistics are that the people who win the big jackpots, it destroys their lives. I mean, why do you want to do that to yourself? Because it won't happen to you, right? You can handle it. You could do it. You know, everything's good. I mean, it amazes me. We had casinos back in North Carolina. The Indians had got in on all that. And the Cherokees, they used to have Unto These Hills, some great outdoor dramas and stuff. And they really worked hard at those. Now they sort of work at those, but they mostly work at the casino. And I've noticed that it's a big thing. You know, how many of you have been to a casino? Okay. It's a pretty fancy thing, isn't it? I mean, you get free food as long as you're gambling, free drinks as long as you're gambling. So what in the world makes you think you're going to come out of there a winner? I mean, you think they built that thing for nothing? You think the food's really free? And it's just out of the kindness of their heart that they have that set up for you so that you can drop a quarter, push a button, drop a quarter, push a button, drop a... You know, I think that Dennis had a good point. They should have left the levers on them and put them to a little generator so that as you pulled that, you were actually creating electricity. You know, they could probably run a whole city, not just a casino, from those things and make them back to nickels instead of quarters. And man, I've seen people sit with a bucket between their legs. Why? How many of you like to bet on the sure thing? Huh? Come on. The sure thing. What? I know a sure thing. I can tell you how to pick a winner. I bet you want this, don't you? Huh? You want to know how to pick a winner? It's the name of the sermon, isn't it? And the winner is. So let's talk about picking a winner. Number one, in order to pick a winner, you got to know the odds, right? You got to know the medium in which you're betting. We like to play a game at my house called Hearts, don't we, guys? Don't come when we're playing Hearts. There are no friendships or marriages around that table, are they? You got to know the odds. I have a little knack for playing cards like I can remember them. So when you lay your cards down, I know what's been played. But sometimes you mess up. You remember the cards, but then there's somebody that don't play by the rules, that just plays in some kind of way that made no sense. You know, that got out of the box and played craziness, and he shoots the moon and everybody gets stuck. Twice. It's not a sure thing, is it? But the odds are in my favor, right? I know the game. I've played it a few times. I can read the cards. You know? How many of you like stock car races? Yeah, I do too. You know, it gets in your blood if you're from down south. You ain't lived until you've sat on the third row up on a dirt track, and when you come out of there, the only clean place is where you had your sunglasses on. At every other lap, you go, How'd you get dirt choked up? And you learn to blow your nose like this instead of with a handkerchief, you know. That's just the way it is. And they bring the water truck out. It used to go down to a little place in South Carolina, at Blacksburg, South Carolina. And you would just be amazed that sometimes in the middle of a fight, a race would break out. It was entertaining. They just all pull over, bail out of the cars, and go to fighting and get back in and finish the race. It was something to see. Over on the side, you could get in on the money. In order to get in on the money, you had to know who had the best engine. Did they do it that week? They run the same one? Better cars, better setup, older car, you know, good driver, bad. Yeah. But, you know, there wasn't no sure thing then because they could get hurt in the fight and couldn't finish the race, you know. Those certain things. So, you know, picking a winner. How many of you like sports teams? Do I have any Chicago Bulls fans in the house? Okay. My sin is confessed. Used to be a Celtics fan, but, you know, anyway, we won't go all there. One of my favorite teams in the college league was UNC Chapel Hill, the Tar Heels, as long as Dean Smith was the coach. Dean Smith could take young men of varied talents and make a ball team out of them and take them into March Madness. But it still wasn't a sure thing. There are two sure things that you can bet on. Take your bulletin out. I'm going to revisit a phrase that you've probably got really sick and tired of hearing, but you're going to hear it again this morning for just a minute in my closing thoughts on the sure thing and the winner is. But on the bulletin, I want you to join with me in this statement of faith, and you find it with beginning with the bold and ending with the bold, in Healthy Things Grow. It's right up at the top, right above the line under the mission statement. I want you to say this with me, and I want you to take your bulletin home this week. Let's don't recycle, and take it home. And I want you to prayerfully consider this phrase every day. Every day, listen to what it says. Together, all of us, healthy things grow. Growing things change. Change is a challenge. Challenge forces us to trust God. Trusting God makes us healthy. Healthy things grow. Life always comes down to two choices. And it's been my experience in over 20 years of ministry, full-time and living life for a long time now, I think. It's really not that long. But living life, I've learned that a termite, while small, can eat a large house. And I have learned that the small decisions that we go with our gut, our little snap decisions, our little hurry up and go things, our little, I think I'll do that, you know, that kind of thing. And we sort of have that other side of our brain that say, no. Don't do it. And we go, shut up. This is what I'm going to do. Those decisions have monumental ramifications in our lives often. I tell people you can ruin your life in 1 minute with a bad decision. You could take that 1 minute and your life will be a mess for years to come. We as Christians need to know we have two choices. We can make that decision with God or without God. But first, we have to make the big choice. And that's, do we pick God or do we pick Satan? Now, here's the sure things. The devil's defeated. That's a sure thing. The devil has been judged. Christ is raised. Christ is resurrected. The defeat of him is there. So if you want to bet on that horse and get in that corral, then you're on picking the losing team. That's a sure thing. Now I'm going to tell you the only and the one thing that you can bet on the sure thing is Jesus. You can pick the winning team if you pick Jesus. Because you know what? God didn't make no junk. And God made each one of us. And he sent Jesus to live in us. How many of you have made a snap decision 5 minutes later you wanted to regret? How many of you have said something and 5 minutes later you wished you could swallow those words? The great philosopher from the south of Mississippi said, you need to keep your words soft and sweet. You never know when you might have to eat them. How many of you have made and you've lived long enough now to you step and look back at those things that you did and you said and you regret them? How many of you have done things in your life that you're ashamed of and you don't want anybody else to know? That's what Paul's talking about. Paul says, pick one. Either be a slave to sin or a slave to Christ. Pick one. Because whichever one you're a slave to, you'll serve. Don't continue in sin. Don't use your body, your members, your faculties, your gifts, your talents, your abilities, your physical presence anymore for sin, but use them for good. And you see, the devil promises, I'll hang you out on the limb, kick you off really quick, saw it off behind you, break the diving board, drain the water. God says, I'll go with you. I'll sanctify you. I'll give you a gift of grace and mercy. I'll be with you always. That other team don't promise you any of that but heartache and grief. Make no mistake about it, the wages of sin are death, that separation from God. And even as a Christian, how many of you have made a mistake before? Even after you became a Christian. I just wanted to be sure we had a timeline in there. Guess what? You're going to do it again. You're going to make another mistake. You're going to make another bad decision, but you don't get thrown out. You have to live with the consequences of it. Sometimes, you know, it takes a little while to get through all that. But Jesus forgives us our sins. Remember this morning. Don't make a move without Him, little or big. Don't start off the day without Him and don't end it without Him. When you have a question about something, something don't seem right, it ain't right. Stop right there. When you feel that this is not the right thing to do, don't give in. When you feel like there's something you should be doing, pray about it before you do it. Remember, the devil will tempt you. I tell people all the time, he'll tempt you with a house you can't afford, cars you can't afford to drive. He'll have you blessed so much you can't afford to take a time off to go to church. He'll bless you into oblivion. Remember that. God won't bless you above what you need. Hear that? So that you won't feel like you're tied down to stuff. And the winner is, you pick. Two choices. Two. I don't care about gambling. There ain't no winners in that. Even if you win, you lose. Who are you going to tell? Please. Don't say, I'm a member of the First Methodist Church and I'm going to the casino tomorrow. Anybody want to go? Please don't do that. Don't look the best in the world, because we Methodists don't believe in gambling. Did you know that? Or drinking? We're teetotalers, you know? So kind of take it easy on us. Yeah? Tell them you're from the Baptist Church. You know? Do you know the difference between a Baptist and a Methodist? Come on, Greg Fisher knows the answer to this, doesn't he? You don't? It's going to be good, it is. Methodists will speak to you when they meet you in the liquor store, and the Baptist will dodge you. I grew up hearing that joke as a Baptist. I got sick of it. Mostly because it was true. It was awful funny. I'd get paid on Friday. People would get paid on Friday, and they'd immediately go to the liquor store. And they would get their check cashed at the liquor store. And it was funny, two of the deacons at Mount Mitchell Baptist Church would be getting their checks cashed too. And if they saw you coming in, they'd go back to the bathroom. And they'd wait you out. You know what I used to do? I'd sit in the parking lot, wait for them to come out. Hey, how you doing, Cecil? It's good to see you down here at the liquor store. Charles, know you're here? That was the preacher's name. Well, this is for medicinal purposes. Yeah, you got a disease called alcoholism. I guess it's for medicinal purposes. The winner is you pick. Him or the other one. That's the two choices. There's really only one winner, isn't there? Jesus. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for your love, grace, and mercy this morning. Let us be on your side. Father, let us not pray that you would be on our side, but that we would be on your side. Father, help us in those small decisions that can change a life. Lead us in the large decisions. But Father, as we make our decisions, our choices, and the two, right or wrong, good or bad, Father, let us realize that we are not caught up in a vacuum. But Father, that we live and breathe among others who too will be affected by our decisions. So Father, let us tread carefully, taking our time, trusting in you, listening for your Spirit to guide us. Father, we're still going to make mistakes, but we pray they aren't as big. We pray they aren't as crushing as some could be. And Father, we pray that we humble ourselves before you and that we repent of our sins and we turn from it, that we would be forgiven, and that we would find that restoration, that sanctification that's there. For we only have one sure thing in this life that we live, and that is you, our God, Christ, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, our guide, our conscience, our still small voice. That empowers us to be able to do that, to make the right decisions, to right judgment calls. Father, we pray this morning that you empower us to live into our faith as we are the church of Jesus Christ, his hands and his feet. Help us to not trust on the temporary things of life that is around us, but on the eternal things that are in us. Help us, Lord, to lean not on our own understanding of things, but on you. Help us to be able to see the tempter at work in our lives, Satan, who wants to draw us away and to tell us we're no good and that we're rotten and that there's no hope and no purpose and our life's too big a mess and we've made too many mistakes. Father, help us to see the tempter at work saying church is for the weak and church is for the hypocrites and church to judge that which gives us excuse to not be part of. And Father, help us to see how the devil wants to separate even the body of Christ by little things and petty things. Father, there are things we should stand for. There are things we should stand against. But the people you have created, and it's the sin that we must renounce through love and grace as you have loved us. Father, our job isn't to clean them. Our job's to catch them. And you'll do the cleaning. Sometimes it takes a little longer. They stumble, they fall. And Father, we should be there to help them up, keep their eyes on you. And Father, when there are those times, when the consequences come, let us learn even in those times so that we might not repeat it. But let us not listen once again to our adversary, Satan, who would beat us up and tell us, since we're this far gone, we might as well not go back. Father, help us Father, truly help us in our heart and in our life to know you, love you, and trust you. And the winner is you and only you. Father, help us be a part of that winning team, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This week, we celebrate Independence Day. We celebrate on the 4th of July, freedom. But freedom always comes at a cost. Let us remember those who have fought for and fight for freedom. But let us never forget Christ, who gave us the greatest freedom, forgiveness of sin through grace and love. And now may truly that grace and love, which is Christ Jesus, go in you, through you, to be a blessing to others, to strengthen you as you go, to let you in those little decisions and the larger ones know peace in the decision and after. And truly, may the peace and grace go with you. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.